Hi, I'm Antonio Centeno, and you're listening to the Personal Image System Podcast. Gentlemen, just a quick reminder that all the material here is pulled from the Personal Image System. The Personal Image System is my master level course. I offer it a few times a year. This system is built off of decades of research and development. I also pull in my experience having helped thousands of men dress better as a custom clothier. I also pull in my science background, so we've got this whole science of style section. Gentlemen, the Personal Image System is action oriented. It's got an amazing community. It has live training, 100 plus lessons with resource materials, body language, etiquette, manners, buy list. It has video, audio, guys, it scripts out there that you can follow as to how to up your style. I make it simple. Go check it out. You're not going to be disappointed. To learn more about the Personal Image System, simply type it into Google, it'll pop up, or go over to realmenrealstyle.com and I'll have a banner right there for you where you can just click and learn more about the Personal Image System. All right, so today we're going to be talking about how to buy your first watch. One thing over the last year that I've really enjoyed is getting back into watches. And I had a friend ask me, Antonio, why did you even get out of watches? What led to, I think it was what, a 10 to 15 year hiatus. I can't remember when I stopped exactly wearing watches, but I would have to say it was when I transitioned out of the Marine Corps. And at the time period, it's not like I was wearing really fancy watches. I was probably wearing a G-Shock, something that was just simply durable, waterproof, and pretty much wanted something that just worked with my basic needs as a Marine officer. I served with 3rd Battalion, 1st Marines. We were stationed in Camp Pendleton, California. I had just returned from Iraq. Before that, I went out with the 11th MEU on a deployment. And before that, you know, I'd started off as a student naval aviator. And it was just something that I knew watches were important. And perhaps if I had not blown out my sinuses in a T-34 and, you know, I would have gone down the aviator route, I would have fallen in love and used a lot more aviator watches. But as I went infantry, it was something that I just went with something that was rugged, something I expected to get beat up. But before that, there was a time that I went after the latest and greatest, what I loved. I remember this watch I had as a kid. I think I saved up for it for, it must have been a couple months. And this watch could tell you the temperature in the across the entire world. Now, it was kind of a trick. When I bought it, I truly believed that somehow it was getting information. And this is before, you know, things could just plug in and before you could get this information by being plugged into the web. No, this is back in 1992, guys. So it was obviously giving me historical highs, historical lows, but it did give me the times across the world. And it had this really cool world map on it. And it was, at the time, an expensive watch for me. I'd say it was definitely, you know, being digital, this was like a $70 or $80 watch. And I loved that thing. I have no idea what happened to it, but I just loved how it could always tell me the temperature. And I was quick to tell people the temperature right there on my wrist. But at some point, the love of watches, maybe it was the advent of the cell phone. And that's, I'll blame it on that. And I think for a lot of people, the cell phone is probably the biggest excuse that we use for not using or getting a watch. It's like, why do I need to be able to tell the time? I've got that on my phone. And my phone, you know, it's with you 24/7. Some people, you know, don't sleep with your phone in the same room. I know I'm saying that, and probably 95% of you do, but that, you know, think about it. You get a message in the middle of the night, it wakes you up. And just, they've even shown that having a phone next to you when you've got a conversation actually makes you feel more distant to both parties. I actually try to make it a very conscious effort of either turning off my phone or taking it, flipping it, and moving it out of the way. And people are surprised sometimes when I don't pick it up, even though they can hear it buzzing or making a sound. And I'm just, no, I'm there to engage with others. But we're getting off topic. Let's get back. And that's why I like these podcasts, because I can actually go a little bit deeper than I can in my videos. But I still had this love for watches. I love the idea of being able to instantly tell time. I did enjoy the fascination of, you know, here was something that on my wrist, I had access to all this great information. The history, maybe not so much, although definitely when I was when I looked at a few aviator watches and I played around with those, it was something that I knew was out there. But about a year ago, I had a company, the Fifth Watches, actually, you can go check them out, great company. They reached out to me and they said, hey, you know, we make these fashion watches. We make them at a price point that a guy can go in and he can grab this watch and it's going to work with his wardrobe. It's not going to be something that he's going to, you know, break his bank on, and he can kind of get introduced to watches. And at the time, I was hesitant. It was, you know, okay, do I want to talk about watches? I know it's a slippery slope. One, once you start collecting watches, and then last year now I've got probably over a dozen watches in my collection that has happened just in the last year. No Rolexes yet. That will happen, I'm sure, very soon. I do have a friend that's already bought three in the last year, and he tells me all about it and shown me. But for me, the hesitation was I knew that there is a learning curve, and there are so many things. If you've followed the history of Real Men Real Style, you probably know I started from ground zero. There was a time less than a decade ago that I did not know jack about men's style. And many people would probably argue that I still don't know jack about men's style, but that's fine. At least that's fine. I'm putting myself out there and I'm hoping that I can inspire and create a hunger in other men about men's style. But I knew that if I were to start that with watches, I would run into people who would say, why in the world are you even talking about this, Antonio? Leave this to the experts. And that has happened. I have lots of people. I find that it is a very passionate community, both in terms of people wanting to help and also with some people wanting to, I don't know why they want to tear you down. Maybe it's just simply it makes them feel better, but I would say we all begin somewhere. So from this, I've actually created an entire ebook. I think it's like 85 pages, a lot of solid content. And whether or not you say I don't know much at all, at least I've put together that ebook out there that's totally free. At some point, I'll probably charge for it. But right now, I'm going to put it up on Amazon, I'm sure. And, pull, because it's got some ads in it and stuff like that. That's why I'm able to make it free like that. But putting that together, it really forced me to learn more. Then working with the Fifth Watches, they came in as a sponsor last holiday season, and I was able to put out some great content. In fact, one of the first ones I put out, why should a man buy a watch? And the point I take head on is that question of, well, I've got a cell phone. Why do I need a watch? Well, long answer to, I've kind of floated around that, is I think a watch is as much jewelry as it still is function. Because when you want to tell the time, when you want to very accurately get the information about, okay, what's the exact time? With your phone, you've got to worry about battery life. You've got to, pull it out of your pocket. With a watch, it's simply you flip your wrist and it's boom right there. There's also other bits of information you can tell, but it's so much more elegant than. Because when you do this, when you're looking at your phone, people are like, okay, is he checking a text? What's going on here? With your watch, they at least know, okay, this guy is at least, he's checking the time. I'm not saying that that's good manners when you're engaging with someone, although you may want to be clear at the beginning of the conversation. Hey, I'm sorry, I've only got about 10 minutes for this meeting right here, guys. And you look at your watch, let's go ahead and hit it because I need to go on to something else. I always think that that's a great I think you should always start a meeting with a time limit. That way you don't waste anyone's time because it is very valuable. But the best quote, and what if you take nothing else from this long conversation I'm having here about watches, is that having a watch and wearing a watch, I think, isn't so much about time, but it's about a man's relationship with time. And having that reminder on your wrist, having that piece that you can look at, it really, I think it's a great reminder of how little time we have left here on this earth. And, I was just at a football game, went to a Green Bay Packer game with my son just last night, got in a bit late. And I'm just thinking, it was a little bit inconvenient to leave work early. But you know what? I got to spend a great time with my son. We had to drive an hour and a half to get there. Football games, they go on for a while. And I had my watch there. I'm just thinking, it's so precious, these moments, because my son's at an age that doesn't always give me his time. He does. He wants to spend time with his friends. And I get that. He's always been, I think, he's been a great kid, always been a great kid. But, there are some stories I could tell, but he just likes to do things on his own. I think he's a bit of an introvert. I think that he enjoys just kind of going to his own. But it was there talking about football and spending that precious time with him that time will never come again. I got some good pictures, and I'll send them, we'll put them in the show notes if you want to see a picture of me and my son at this football game. Actually, just of him. I did get one of me and him, but it's horrible, but there is photo evidence. But the point is, my relationship with time, I think, is improved because of that watch. It's a reminder that there is a separation between this electronic device that in many ways has enslaved many of us. We have jobs that expect us to always be answering it. And a watch is enjoyable. A watch is something that you've got that special relationship. But I talked about, I'm going to give you five things that you can use to be able to make a smart purchasing decision when you're out there going to get maybe your first watch, or maybe it's your second or third watch. But I think that this is important because we all have a limited amount of resources. Even if you're a billionaire, you still have a limit. You're not a trillionaire yet. But most of us are not at that point. We maybe only have a budget of a couple $100s for a watch. We maybe have a little bit more. Maybe you've got a couple $1,000s. But in any case, you have to make a decision based off of a limited budget. And so you got to make a decision on which watch you're going to go with. You're going to go with something that's a bit more rugged. You're going to go with something that's timelessly elegant. Are you going to go with a Submariner style? Are you going to go with an aviator or a racing watch? A wide variety of watches out there. And I do recommend, and we'll link to it over in the show notes, which will be over at realmenrealstyle.com/episode 29. In those show notes, though, I'm going to link you over to the ebook. I'm going to link you over to more information about what I'm talking about here. But the first thing you want to think about is the frequency of wear. The second thing you want to think about is your personal need. The third thing is the signal that you want to send. Then you want to look at your professional needs. And finally, you want to consider the resale value. And I'll talk about each of these really quick. So the first thing is the frequency of wear. So I use this equation. If you haven't gone through my free course, I've got the personal image formula. It's linked to it multiple places over on my website. Of course, we'll link to it in the show notes as well. But I talk about how the value of something shouldn't be actually the price it is. It should actually be how many times you use it times the feeling associated with wearing it divided by the price of the product or the item, whether this be a shirt, whether this be a watch. But if you buy a watch and you don't really like it and you don't really wear it very often, but you paid $100 for it or $200 for it, didn't you just waste your money? Because maybe you wear it a handful of times, 10 times, maybe 20 times. It's like $10 a wear. Versus, let's say you do go out and you buy that Rolex, and that, I mean, we're talking $10,000. I'm gonna round it off at 10 because it's an easy number for me. But you end up wearing that Rolex 1,000 times. That's 3 years. You know, let's say you wear it 2,000 times, and it makes you feel, it's maybe 6 years of wear. Although a lot of guys wear it their entire lifetime, but you wear it 2,000 times. And the feeling associated with it is amazing every single time you wear it. Very, very high. Well, really, if you think about it, it was $5 per wear. And I'm not saying to go spend $10,000 on a watch, but I am saying the guy that bought that Rolex probably got a lot more value than the person that bought that $200 watch and never really cared for it. Now, this is an important concept. So really pay attention to that frequency of wear. I think that the best watches that you get are the ones that you actually use. Some collectors may argue, and I'll get at that at the end of this, but frequency of wear is my number one thing that I focus in on. Then let's look at your personal needs. So your personal needs, your personal requirements, this is going to be a number of things. So do you think about proportions? There are some watches. I just had some great watches. I had Ballast and McCabe, James McCabe, in here. Great, both. I'll link to both of them in the show notes. Actually, we did a great article on them. But the Ballast watch is it's a Submariner influence. And this watch is big. We're talking a 46 face here. So, and I'll also, again, if you go grab the ebook, I talk about the difference, the casing sizes and all that stuff like that. But it, trust me, you need to have a big wrist for this watch. Otherwise, like me, if you're wearing it, it just looks really big and heavy. Some people may like that, but I personally like something that's more proportioned to my smaller wrist. So I'm going to be looking for something with like a 40 face. It's going to be just smaller. I think it looks better. And I don't really have the issue of just feeling that that watch is just overpowering there. You also want to look at the thickness of the case. You want to look at the thickness and the size of the band. Some people, again, are going to have a big wrist. If you're 6'5", you know, 320 pounds, and you've got a huge wrist, well, go for it. That watch, you want something that has substance to it. You don't want something that looks like it's a little piece, you know, just like a little strand of jewelry that's about to break off. Go for something that's got weight. But your personal needs, also look at, you know, are you spending a lot of time surfing? Are you spending a lot of time on the beach? Or are you spending a lot of time out in town and you're simply in an environment, you know, in your casual time off that you're still wearing a sports jacket because that's just who you are. Then in that case, maybe an elegant, more dress watch is going to be where you want to go. Now, I'm going to skip over to your professional needs, and that's very closely tied to your personal needs because professionally, if you want something that's going to look great with a suit, something that's going to look great with a sports jacket, something that's going to look great in your everyday professional wear, then, and sometimes you may be a high-level consultant or a lawyer, and you want to wear that Rolex. Not just to show that, hey, this is where all your clients' money's going, but really, I've met lawyers that they simply want to wear this type of stuff to intimidate other lawyers, for them to send that signal when they're up there that, yeah, you know, I do have this Rolex. I have won, you know, multiple cases, and you are about to get crushed. You know, it's like, so it's very interesting. And that's a great transition into the signal that you desire to send. So understand that people that know watches, they know brands, they know quality, they know the details. They pick up on this stuff. And it's not everyone that's going to pick up on it. Here in central Wisconsin, I bet there's a lot of farmers that probably don't know a whole lot about watches. And if you're a farmer, you know, maybe there's a certain type of watch. Maybe you're going to be actually more interested in GPS, you know, with your tractor and maybe hooking that up to your Apple smartwatch. That would actually be pretty darn cool. But I would say, if you're going to be in New York City, you're in Los Angeles, you're in the legal field, a lot of these guys, they pay more attention to these small details, and they're probably going to know some of the brands. If you're in a high-level consulting, you're with BCG, you're out with McKinsey or Bain or something like that, and you're doing government contracts out in Washington, D.C., and you're engaged with a number of people all over the world, then perhaps you want to wear a brand that's recognized internationally because you're dealing with Russians, you're dealing with Ukrainians, you're dealing with maybe people that oftentimes who they are, they wear, they call it, you know, face. Basically who you are, you wear it. You don't, you know, Americans, we keep our wealth in 401ks. Many parts of the world, you don't have that. So you actually keep it in your house, in your car, in your clothing, in your presentation, because at least that, you know, I know my back over in Ukraine, the hryvnia is devalued down to a quarter of what it was. So if you would actually put money into a Rolex, you actually wouldn't have had your money devalue. I know it sounds crazy, but there are markets like that go crazy. And that takes us to our fifth point, the resale value. Now understand that if a watch has a long history and if it's proper, if it is quality made, if it has the right jewels, if it is something that is sought after by collectors, and you need to know what you're doing here. That's why, to me, I have this as the lowest, the resale value or the ability of the watch to maintain its value may be a consideration that you want to look at when you're looking at a watch. And again, if you go with a brand, maybe, there's a number of them out there, but I'm just going to use Rolex because I know it's a safe one and it's one many people have heard of. But when they look at that and they say, okay, if I get this, I at least know that when I pass this on to my son, it will still have value, that it can get reconditioned, it can get rebuilt. And this is something that is really going to be a watch that is going to stand up to the test of time And maybe in 50 to 75 years, my great-great-grandson or great-great-granddaughter will have this, and she'll be able to think of me and she'll wonder about the engraving that's on the back and the story behind it. So guys, hopefully the goal of this is to get you interested, get you excited, and be warned, because once you start to go down this path, you're gonna go and you're gonna read my ebook probably again, San Antonio. You've taken me down a very, very, very expensive hobby, and that's what it can become. I do recommend that a man have at least one watch. They're fun to wear. I think they can really spruce up an outfit. They can add a bit of class to it. It's something that people do notice, especially because they've become less common than they were, I think, 20 or 30 years ago. But owning a great watch is a great way to step up your style, and I highly advise it. Gentlemen, if you want more, go check out the show notes over at realmenrealstyle.com/episode 29. Interested in learning more about how style can increase your earning power, help you command respect, and come off as more attractive? Guys, I've got two options for you. First, check out the Personal Image System. I've got a Science of Style section. It's action-oriented. It's got an amazing community, live training, and 100-plus lessons with resource material. Or check out Real Men Real Style. Guys, I've got a free app over there that has some of the world's best infographics built right into it. It's got 1,000-plus free videos and articles. Also, we've got free ebooks, free courses. I've even got a free consultation system where you can enter a little bit of information about yourself, and we spit out a personalized video for you. Guys, that's it. I'll see you in the next episode.